Penguin Random House Audio presents Grace in the Gray, A More Loving Way to Disagree. This is the author, Mike Donaghy. For Kelly, more than any other, God's grace through you has made me gracious. This book would never be without you. Introduction. The Art of Elegant Disagreement. My wife is really good at disagreeing with me. I'm sure I'm not unique in this experience, but what might be unique is that I've learned to love it. Well, I'm learning to love it. I'll be posting a video online or texting some advice to a friend, and she'll joyfully stride in, peek over my shoulder, and say, "Are you sure you want to say it like that?" I used to cringe at those words, but even though it's taken me years, I've come to welcome her critique. It helps that she's tactful, but trust me when I say that learning to love her dissent has been a journey in and of itself. I would even say that learning to love her opposing point of view has been instrumental in the writing of this book. Her considerations helped shift my initial idea. This book started out as something else entirely. At first, I thought this was going to be a book outlining my personal positions on divisive topics. I was going to address every controversial matter the world has ever known. I'd do extensive research. I'd do a deep dive into a myriad of commentaries. I would eventually dazzle you with such scholastic brilliance that you'd realize my conclusions were so astute and insurmountable you wouldn't even dream of drawing any others. I'm sorry if that's what you were hoping for. I really did try. I would begin with the topic of alcohol, a perfect choice because the opinions on drinking, at least within the church worlds I've been a part of, are varied and can be vitriolic. I even had a great chapter title, "Help! My girlfriend ordered a beer." Building off a true story, I would woo and wow you into complete agreement. Brilliant, right? Because of my expansive research and ingenious insights, I was certain a new humanity full of peace and understanding would undoubtedly emerge. I was going to solve the alcohol conundrum, and millions of relationships that had been broken because of the issue would be restored. Hallelujah! Once I wrapped up my bulletproof treatise on alcohol, I would move on to refugees, and then politics, and then vaccines, just for fun. Through this book, I was certain I would lead a unifying movement within the church and out in the world that would never again be rivaled. Or so I thought. You know what happened? My wife read it. She said, "I don't know if you've really covered the argument." I read it over. I cried inside. I didn't want her to see she was right. I had second thoughts. I began to wonder, maybe certain topics are divisive for good reasons. Maybe both sides of controversy have pretty good arguments. I know what stance I would take, but does my viewpoint necessarily negate the other side's? Will my conclusions lead to greater displays of grace and unity, or will they just become another bullet in the chamber for one side to blast the other? I ruminated. I prayed. I repented. I decided against it. I pivoted. I rejoiced. Why Grace in the Gray? My positions might have been sound, but my posture had a lot of growing up to do. I ended up calling this Grace in the Gray because I began to think that maybe God left some gray spaces on purpose. Maybe God wove some mystery into the world because he's more interested in cultivating great lovers than he is great debaters. And when I say great lovers, I don't mean the honeymoon infatuation type. Falling in love is the easy part. It's all color and sparks. That's not the love I'm aiming for. Perhaps God wants us to learn to stay in love, even when it's hard, even when it's complicated, even when it's long and arduous and not all black and white. Maybe staying in love truly is an art form all to itself. Yeah, I think that's it. This book is about learning the artful elegance of loving one another in the gray spaces. After all, gray is everywhere we look. Try to resist it, but there's no escaping the truth. The world is not always black and white. Live just a little and you'll find it's true. In fact, the gray isn't just in the way we see things. The gray spaces are all around us. They are built into the very fabric of the universe. They are where the horizon lines disappear. They are where the sky bleeds into the sea. The gray is in the early morning fog rising off the rivers. The gray spaces are in the skies above us. God built them into the earth and sky and stars. At dusk, when does the day end and the night begin? At dawn, where is the sun when it's still behind the hills? Solar pathways, lunar movements. We marvel when the sun is eclipsed and the light gives way to gray. The gray spaces are in between us. They are in our theologies and attempts to understand. They are clouded in our limited perspectives. We set our courses for unavoidable collisions of color and consequence. The gray spaces are like bumper guards. We have unique upbringings. We have unique views. We have biases. We have limitations that we are sorely unaware of. Sometimes I wonder if God put a little gray in the world to keep us all from killing one another. As we go about our everyday lives, we will undoubtedly find ourselves standing in gray places. We can choose to go toe-to-toe, or we can help carry one another through. That's the aim of this book. This book is not about agreeing to disagree. I've never much liked that phrase. It sounds as if two parties have decided to momentarily lay down their arms until a better opportunity to shoot each other arises. No, this isn't a treatise on tolerating the people who infuriate us. It's not about living with the ones who annoy us. It's not about how to reach a truce in cold mutual disappointment where neither side is able to prevail. It's not a book on the art of stalemate. It's not chess. I have more in mind than the silent pushing away from a cluttered board because neither party could envision a way forward. This is a book about a different strategy altogether. How can we more lovingly disagree? It's about leaning in and longing to understand. It's about admitting when we're wrong and not always assuming our views are the correct ones. It's about curiosity and kindness and asking better questions. I don't just want to try on another man's shoes. I want to live in them for a while. I want to explore what it might look like to forge ahead in friendship when it feels impossible to do anything but retreat. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says that Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. 2:14. There's a whole lot to that sentence, but among other things, it means we have peace in the midst of misunderstanding. It means the body of God was broken so that our communities could be put back together. It means that the walls of hostility were torn down between parties who otherwise would never have gotten along. It means we get to worry more about building bridges rather than looking for ones to burn down. Though nuance is never easy, I believe it's worth fighting for. And when we fight for love in the gray spaces, we might find we've stopped fighting one another. Where are we fighting one another? I'm thinking here about denominations worshiping exactness. I'm thinking about politics serving policies and forgetting about people. I'm thinking about people disowning family instead of being devoted to them. If Christ came to destroy the hostility between us, then that must mean there is a unity far deeper and more beautiful than anything we have settled for thus far. The purpose of this book is fourfold. I hope to help us, 1, subjectify those we've objectified, 2, empathize with those we've vilified, 3, humanize those we've deified, and 4, see that our posture is just as important as our position. I want to show you how in everything you say and everything you do, your posture can be one of love. No matter your viewpoint, you can stay in love when you disagree. We forget that even when our positions are clear, our intentions sound, and our arguments foolproof, If our postures are crooked, it won't matter much in the end.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?